This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Malaganas, Edwards Johnson, the team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
I've stood next to you before while we've tried to read a teleprompter. You don't do too well at it either.
Yeah.
You don't. And it's true. I think possibly, yeah, just as a little bit of a who the hell do you think you are for making fun of this guy,
yeah,
I would like to see you read a teleprompter in front of Canberra this morning.
Fine. Okay. I've got nothing to lose. If anyone's got high hopes of my teleprompting reading abilities, then that's on you, not me.
So what's going to happen here is I am going to put a teleprompter up on the screen,
okay,
and we are going to let you read, and I'm only going to give you 10 seconds for each slide.
Okay.
There's a couple of good solid paragraphs in those slides.
So I have to read several paragraphs in 10 seconds?
No, not several paragraphs. Each slide is a paragraph.
Okay, fine.
And I would like to see you read it without fault. Without fault.
Yeah.
In 10 seconds.
All right, we'll see how we go.
So what we're going to do, I'm also going to put a buzzer up that's going to give a little bit of a count every time you make a mistake.
Well, that seems quite distracting.
I'm probably also going to throw you a little bit. But hey, you were making fun of this guy so hard yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is going to be easy for you.
Well, you've already said you're not good at this. It's going to be hard. This will be hard for you, even if you were just reading a regular teleprompter.
You've seen through my false encouragement.
Okay.
Okay, so let's be clear here. What this is, by the way, is the first few paragraphs of the Wikipedia entry for Vegemite.
Okay.
Okay, so it's just a little brief overview of what Vegemite is.
Yep.
And a quick little look at its history. All
okay,
right?
Yep.
So you're first 10 seconds, and wait a minute, I need a little little thing to sit here. Oh, and much like a Disney read-along book, you'll hear this noise when I've changed the slide.
Okay, okay. Very good.
Here we go. Your first 10 seconds starts now.
Vegemite is a thick black Australian food spread made from leftover brewer's yeast extract with various vegetable and spice additives. It's developed by Cyril Percy Callister in Melbourne, Victoria in 1922.
Okay.
Vegemite. Oh, no, that's the same one.
Here we go.
The Vegemite brand was owned by Mondelez International, formerly Kraft Foods, Inc., until January 2017 when it was acquired by Australian Bega Cheese Group in... Damn it.
So much of that slide was left.
A spread for sandwiches, toast, crumpets, and cracker biscuits, as well as filling for pastries. Vegemite is similar to British Marmite, New Zealand Marmite, Australian Promite, Mighty Mite, Aussie Mite, Aussie Mite? They're the same word. German Vita R and Swiss Synovus. I'm guessing is how you say that word.
That's actually correct.
Synovus?
Gave you a bit longer on that last one, yeah, only because I wanted to see you say all those brand names.
God, Vita R. German.
No, you still got that wrong. It's
Vitamin R.
Vitamin R.
German Vitamin R.
Safe to say you won't be making fun of anyone reading a teleprompter again.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
I gotta say, I've been watching with some extreme interest the whole saga that has been the selling and now renting of former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's Kingston Foreshore penthouse.
So, old M. Turnb, he doesn't own the apartment anymore?
It's been sold. Okay. And it was sold for upwards of $2 million.
Owie.
So if you're rich. If you're rolling around in Kingston Foreshore, you know what's going on. You've got some coin. You know why you're there.
Yeah.
And
know why you're there.
You know what's happened.
That's it.
Yeah.
My hat goes off to you.
You're living large.
Yeah, that's it.
But the thing here is, you probably are in a fairly select group of Canberrans.
Mm.
I certainly can't afford to live in Kingston Foreshore. Neither
I
can
could
you.
If I twisted the truth to my landlord and said, don't worry, the rent's coming,
So you could live in a legal capacity in Kingston Foreshore where you weren't paying rent for a considerable amount of time.
You didn't say how, you just said I couldn't, and I very much could.
Yeah, I could also pitch a tent out the front of the dock, but I don't think you knew what I meant. If you wanted to live the good life where you got an apartment there.
That's true.
You're rolling in some coins.
Yep.
So Malcolm Turnbull, obviously, not shy of a few dollars.
No, of course not.
Neither's obviously this person that's bought his penthouse, but I want to open this up to all Canberrans.
Because now it's for rent, isn't it?
Now it's for rent, but the rent is literally going to be between $1,300 and $1,500 a week.
Wow.
And so that is, that's
steep.
Sizable amounts of coin.
Yes.
So you're obviously, once again, you're a high roller if you're affording that.
Mm.
Why don't we open it up to everybody, make it nice and relatable to your average everyday Canberran, and you can rent it for just a week. This is an idea. Live like a prime minister for a week.
Okay.
And so you can get like 5-6 mates together. You can all split the bill and just live large for a week. I would love to see the new owners of the apartment do that as a scheme because I think it would be tremendously fun to get to experience. You know what? It's where the Prime Minister used to live.
He probably slept in this room.
He probably slept in this room.
Where he was thinking, he was dwelling over the matters of Australia.
Probably ate ice cream, watched TV on this very couch.
Yeah, well, I mean, he probably took his couch.
Yeah, I would say he took his couch.
But in this very room.
In this very room, indeed.
Look, it's not an Airbnb, and you of all people should know, because when you signed your lease to live where you live now, you signed it for 2 years. Yeah, so I feel like a lot of real estate agents won't want people moving in and out on the weekly basis.
They want a long-term commitment, obviously. But I think for $1,500 a week, you've got obviously, they're going to have to find the right person. Yep. I'm saying open this up to everyone, and you've got business coming through the doors every week.
That's it. Airbnb it, you're done.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic it. Fantastic options.
Yeah, look, perfect.
So could you, I mean, I don't know what you do, but could you pretend, like, could we set up like a fake cabinet room in there or something? Could we pretend that you are the prime? It's almost like a live out your fantasy experience.
Right. It's like one of those fantasy rooms. It's like an escape room, but you don't want to escape. You want to run the country.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. No.
I can think of a few former prime ministers that were ousted that would love to pay for a week of pretending to be prime minister again.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Your chance to be a part of the Hit 104.7 National Air Hockey Championships that are going to be happening at the ActuAGL Royal Canberra Show, where you can save 40% by buying your tickets online, is waiting for you this Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We are going to be down there every day for a couple of hours running these tournaments. Obviously, you're going to have to sync up with when we're there, but you can also just play the air hockey table as training if we're not there. Yep. So that's very exciting.
That is very exciting.
It's your chance to win a showcase of prizes. At the very tippity top for the champions on each day will be every show bag at the show.
Yep.
Incredible. That is a prize worth over $1,000 a day.
It's amazing. It honestly is incredible.
So 13-10-60. Getting the Air Hockey Championship title is a pretty obscure title.
Oh, it's weird. It's something you can brag about. It's also something that's kind of strange.
So on that note, we want to know, 13-10-60 right now, what is the weirdest, most obscure title you've ever had in your life? Award, trophy, whatever. What is it? 13-10-60. Carly's on the line from Caldwell. How are you, Carly?
Good, thanks. How's it going?
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Carly.
Carly, what is the most obscure thing you've ever been awarded?
I am the 104.7 competitive napping champion.
I do remember that this happened. I remember seeing this on Facebook before we got the job here.
That's right.
How did that go for you? Like, was it very hard to stay asleep while all the shenanigans were going on?
No, because it's about the only thing I'm good at.
Okay.
Napping, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't know fully, because this wasn't our show, so I didn't fully know how this worked. Were you allowed to wear earplugs or anything, or
did you just have to fall asleep?
No, you just had to fall asleep.
Yeah. God. See, I would say in that kind of a competition, earplugs would be like steroids.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like an enhancement. You can't be doing that.
They come around and test you for earplugs.
Well, Carly, congratulations. That's something no one can take away from you. And it is a damn obscure title. So well done.
And that's it. Apparently, Hit 104.7 is just handing obscure titles out willy-nilly.
It's pretty much what we do for a living. Matt's on the line from Cherrybombra. Matt, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, not too bad. Matt. Does your best mate have a pretty weird title?
Yeah, mate, he's got the actual Queanbeyan High School roughest lid.
Roughest lid?
Still standing to this day.
I mean, teachers surely didn't hand him that.
Yeah, 12 years running straight and still got it to this day.
What, do they check in on him?
Is this? Can I ask a quick title, Matt? Is this a title? Is this is this something you've handed out to your mate, or
he got this in year 7 assembly?
Year 7, they're handing it roughest
look,
hand.
I'm going to say, you know, congratulations. I don't know if that's an award still being handed out in 2019.
I'd like to think so.
The world's changed a little bit.
They just gave it to Matt's mate, and we're like, you know what? He's going to get it from now on.
But also, kids, no bullying.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
The 13th of July is when you are going to be able to see our next guest come to town. His name's Constantino. He is an illusionist, magician, escape artist extraordinaire, and he's going to be bringing his show Anything Is Possible to Canberra.
That's right. You've seen him on so many shows. He's made a huge in Asia at the moment. He is kicking so many goals. I'm very excited to speak to him.
Constantino, good morning. How are you, mate?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for giving us some time. Being here, and not just that, but coming to Canberra a little bit later on this year. We're very excited to see you. Obviously, a rabid fan base in Australia.
You have done some terrifying stuff and incredibly dangerous stuff. Have you ever done something that, before you went into it, you thought, this will be the one that undoes me? This will be the one where Constantino doesn't walk away from this one?
Look, to be honest, you can't have that fear. It's kind of like when a boxer or an MMA fighter goes into a ring, they've got to convince themselves they're going to win and they're not going to get you know, their head punched in. Otherwise, you go in with fear and you kind of, if you go in with fear, you're questioning every step that you make. So you kind of take those gremlins out of it. However, to answer your question properly, there was a stunt I did called Dropped, and I was in like a Perspex bubble, chained and locked, and literally dropped 10 meters deep underwater.
Yeah.
And the night before the TV special that we were filming to practice it, I hadn't had enough. Usually these stunts take about 6 months to prep. I didn't really have that time to prep. Anyway, I went down. I tried to equalize. Equalize is basically taking the pressure out of your ears, like when you're on an airplane, but it's far worse at 10 meters deep.
Yeah.
I've only taken one breath of air at the top. I'm holding my air in my lungs. I'm going down. I'm trying to pick locks. I can't see anything. And there's this huge pain in my head. This is in rehearsal.
Oh, God.
And I finally get to equalize. I hear a pop, which relieves the pressure. I think, great. That's followed straight away by excruciating pain because I had blown my right eardrum. And if you've ever blown an eardrum, you know you get disorientated and nauseous. And that's the first time I started to panic.
Yeah.
And that is the worst thing you can do. As soon as you panic, you start to rush, you go through your oxygen, you're not concentrating properly. And it was the one time where I thought, oh, man, this is all going bad pretty quickly.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be terrifying.
That actually is terrifying to even just hear you talk about that. Yeah, and you've clearly gotten out okay. But like, it's terrifying.
Yeah. So that's one end of the scale. Do you have a go-to trick when you're in bars to potentially impress people where you're like, you know what, they're expecting something. I'll just whip this one out and show them magic's still very much alive and well.
Yes, I do have a go-to trick, but it's really weird. Like, you know, people, when they find that you, when they know you're a magician, and they expect you to do a trick, but it's really weird to me. It's kind of like, imagine an actor walks in, they go, oh, I hope so-and-so is going to give me a monologue. It's
weird
to me. But, of course, I do have a go-to trick. Very, very, very simple. It's a card trick, basically, like a transposition where one card goes from one spot to the other. But I don't always carry cards on because sometimes I don't like being put under that kind of, hey, dancing monkey.
You can just safely say to people, you do realize I normally get paid to do this. So if you got some money, we can do like a short little on-the-spot job here, I guess.
Right. It's weird, right?
100%.
Constantino, one final question, and this is a question that has plagued my mind since I was a four-year-old boy, and I fell in love with a television show called World's Greatest Secrets Finally Revealed.
I was a kid too, but I was a little bit older than you, but I was a kid when I watched it too. I was devastated.
Hosted by the one and only Mitch Pileggi, who used to play Skinner off The X-Files.
Yeah.
Constantino, I need to know now, the masked magician on the show, I know his identity has been revealed, but Mitch used to claim at the beginning of every show that he had to wear the mask for fear of life-threatening reprisals from other magicians.
Magicians are going to kill him.
So the question I've got to ask you right now is, would you attack the masked magician if you ever saw him in person?
If I saw him in a bar and he asked to perform a trick, I would attack him.
Yeah, okay, watch this.
His life is in danger from other magicians.
Mitch was right.
Constantino, thank you so much for giving us a chat this morning, mate. We're so excited to see you here July 13 for the Anything Is Possible tour. We'll speak to you then.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
And right now, Ned, it is time for us to batten down the hatches and get ready to give something huge away.
Ned and Josh's Demolition Drive. Thanks to the team at National Capital Kia, Josephson Street, Belconnen.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it. We're giving away the majestic, the graceful, the brand new 2019 Kia Picanto. Thanks to our friends at National Capital Kia, Belconnen. Duncan and Tobias said, you know what? You've gotten a way to give away a car. A little bit of an interesting concept. And we went, we do, guys. And they went, well, guess what? We have a car.
That's it.
Well, no, you're from National Capital Kia. You've got heaps of cars. Yep. They went, no, specifically, we have one we want to give away.
Yeah. That conversation didn't happen.
What happened.
That would be the strangest conversation I've ever had.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. And you know what? We are going to be lining up a bunch of people's old, crappy cars on a driving range, the Gold Creek Country Club more specifically, giving them the chance to take pot shots at their car. And the idea would be getting your corresponding ball into your car and the ball staying in there. If that happens, you win the Kia Picanto. Hit1047.com.au is where you go to register right now.
Exactly right, Josh. But there are a lot of things that go on down at the golf course. Obviously, a driving range. If you've ever been to a driving range, you'll see the little buggy that someone drives around in. It's got a cage around it.
Collects the balls.
And they collect the balls. And the reason it's got a cage around it is because there is usually someone inside it. And if they were hit by a golf ball, that would be quite problematic.
Well, imagine if there wasn't a tractor and it was just a person.
Well, tractors haven't been around forever.
Guess what, Canberra, as you may have guessed, we don't have to imagine, because right now on the phone we have the GM and golf pro of the Gold Creek Country Club and former ball collector.
Yeah.
Unmechanically assisted ball collector.
Just doing it out by himself.
Stefan's on the line, mate. How's it going this morning?
I'm great, great, great golfing weather.
Yeah, it's fantastic at the moment. But here's the question I have for you, mate, because we didn't know this last time we spoke to you. Not only are you the Gold Creek Country Club general manager and golf pro, but we needed to speak to somebody who used to go out in the driving range and collect the balls. You used to do that, is that correct?
Yeah, I did. This is how it started, you know. Gosh. A few years back, It worked a little differently. You know, we wore hard hats and we got out there in the middle of the field. And if the place was crowded, you'd get hit once in a while.
Okay, so there was no tractor or anything. Like, you used to actually just go out there and get the balls by hand.
By hand, you had a bucket, yeah, and you would get hit a summer. I mean, you would get hit 5, 6, 7 times a summer.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, Stefan, do you...
That's crazy.
That is actually not okay, yeah. But what's the worst injury you've ever copped from being potentially hit by a golf ball while collecting them?
Well, you know, when you get hit on a fatty part of your body, it's not that bad, but if you get hit on an arm, on a bone, it I mean, it can actually break your arm. I never got that type of injury, but you know, a golf ball is really, really hard, and you can do some damage with a golf ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you, and be honest with us now, do you think people were trying to hit you on purpose?
Back then, probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. All right, then.
That seems crazy to me, because now you see people drive around in trackers and it's fine. You hit them, they've got like all the wiring and stuff, they're not going to get hit. Knowing you could fully hit a human being, that seems insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, nowadays guys still aim at that tractor and our golf buggy that we use to pick up the golf balls. You know, when you're going from left to right, it's a nice moving target.
Yeah.
People have a lot of fun. But when you're actually driving the cart up and down, and you come back towards the golfers, then you can actually see the straight liners coming at you, and you still duck even though you have that windshield.
Yeah. Much like my grandfather, Stefan, when he sees me on my phone and when he sees me doing things of the 21st century, and he's like, you don't know how good you've got it. When you're down at Gold Creek driving range and you see the kids out there in the tractors, do you kind of get that when you're like, you have no idea what I went through?
You know, they're actually on their phone driving that golf
cart. Oh, my God.
Just really rubbing it in your face.
No, they do. I caught one last week. I said, come on, get off your phone and drive the thing a little faster.
Yeah.
Do you... That also sounds like a great job,
though. That sounds like a leisurely stroll in a golf cart. So you think that potentially, because we're going to need someone out there collecting balls while people are driving the balls at their cars, you think someone's going to get hit in the cart?
We could make it even a little tougher, you know, by driving in front or around the cars on that day. Let's make it interesting.
Yeah. I think our contestants just heard that and went, that's a terrible idea.
I want to win a car.
I would like to win the Kia Picanto.
But for me, that sounds hilarious.
Yeah, no, and I'd like to drive the tractor at some point. Is that going to be possible, Stefan?
It'll be on site for sure on that day, ready to go.
That really was not technically a yes to whether I could drive it, but that's fine. It's close enough. That's I'm pretty excited.
You can have some fun. No worries.
No. Oh, yes.
Once again, that wasn't in the golf cart.
Yeah,
you could just sit in it like a big boy.
Yeah. Stefan, thank you so much for having a chat to us, mate, and good on you. That's an awesome career progression
from collecting
the balls all the way through to being the GM of Gold Creek Country Club. We appreciate you giving us a bit of a chat this morning, and we are so keen to see you down there when we come down for the demolition drive.
Guys, thanks.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
22 minutes past 8, it is Hit 104.7. You've got Ned and Josh. And you know what? Coming up in 10 minutes' time, if you're thinking of adopting an animal, we have the thing to push you over the line this weekend. I'm going to give you more details in about 15 minutes.
Josh, we are merely months away from it being 2020. Yeah. The roaring 20s, as some, a.k.a. you and I, will be calling it.
Yeah, and look, the 1920s seemed to be a great time. Jazz music, Great Gatsby parties, like a multitude of bad stuff. But we're going to ignore that because we want to focus on getting the 2020s off the ground as the new roaring 20s.
And I honestly can't wait. But like you said, things are so much better nowadays. Technology's better. We can have cooler parties. Honestly, there's a lot less laws that don't need to be around for weird reasons.
Yep.
Things are a lot better, but I still feel like this could be the roaring 20s
2.0.
Yeah, and with that in mind, we thought, you know what, the best way to celebrate and get pumped for the Roaring Twenties would be to go back through the archives of the radio station, have a listen to how they were preparing for the Roaring 1920s, and try and mimic it. So with that in mind, here's a little bit of a recording of a program we've played you a few snippets of over the last few weeks, the Fun Dime Gentleman in the Morning, from this day in 1919. Let's listen in.
It's that time again, Australia. Your Fun Time Gentleman in the Morning, Edward and Josiah. Brought to you today by Morton's Hair Colouring Solution. If your hair's a bit grey, put some tar in it today.
Good morning, listeners, and a big good morning to you, my broadcast buddy, Edward. How does this Thursday find yourself?
This Thursday finds me quite well, Josiah. How does it find your good self?
Well, I'm present and accounted for, which is more than I can say for my son, Lionel, who has fled the coal mine. More about that later, because right now, Edward, I can't help but notice you have a tremendous amount of glass sticking out of your face.
That's right, Josiah. You may recall I have been saving up for a family light globe for the last couple of months. Finally went out and purchased it yesterday. Whilst installing this family light bulb, it unfortunately did shatter, which sent a lot of glass into my face, yes.
I've got to say, Edward, as ghastly as your appearance is right now, and you possibly have an infection above your left eye, it's what you deserve for doing this dastardly electricity in your own private home. There's no need for it. I tell you, a candle does the job just as well.
That's exactly right. I wish I didn't have these third-degree burns on my face, but a lesson learnt.
A lesson learnt indeed. A lesson in arrogance, which is what I was trying to teach my young son Lionel by sending him to the coal mines as punishment for him dancing a most disgusting dance, the foxtrot, in front of me and the entire family.
I nearly lost my lunch when you recalled the story to me, Josiah. I can't imagine what it was like.
Clementine and I were sitting around last night, received a telegram from the mine. Lionel has apparently fled the mine, bringing even further shame to the family. The boy is on the run, and I have this to say right now in front of the entire nation.
Oh, you'd like to make a plea for your son to come home, Josiah.
I don't know if it's really my son. Clementine's been less than faithful.
Oh,
I really don't know if I want to use the word home either, because Lionel, hear me and hear me now, child. If you do not return properly to the coal mine, your ninth birthday will be spent in that mine. You are not welcome to continue your year three studies until you have finished your agreed year of punishment in the coal mine.
Very, very well said, Josiah.
Thank you very much, my friend, and I'm sorry I had to do some parenting on air, listeners. I hope to receive your kudos again when we present next for you a young man by the name of Edward Maguire, who is the host of a new game show, Who Wants to Win Tuppence?
Tuppence?
Tuppence, my boy!
My word.
In the cool, sweet calm of the evening hour, when the golden sun...
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
I've got to say, this is going to be one of my favourite things to talk about, and probably yours too, mate. We are both massive fans of animals right now, and the RSPCA is doing their absolutely awesome Clear the Shelter. They do it sort of this time every year.
Yep.
It's your chance to go on down there and adopt a pet, give it a forever home at a price that's a little bit better than you'd normally get down there at the RSPCA.
Exactly. If you can't afford the upfront cost of adopting a pet, they're doing it for tomorrow and Saturday, just $29 for all the animals.
Absolutely incredible. With that in mind, we say g'day to Michelle from the RSPCA right now. Michelle, how are you going?
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am absolutely fantastic. We've got some great news for the weekend at the RSPCA shelter.
Mm. You're doing Clear the Shelter again?
We are, and I think that everybody in Canberra will remember that it was very successful. We had every animal adopted, even if it took a little bit longer for one in particular.
Yes, a very very famous dog.
We made a very big deal of that, I remember.
You did. So Cooper took a little bit longer to find a home, but he did, and he is loving it. He came to visit us a couple of weeks ago, and he's living the life.
That is the best news possible. Yeah. Now, how many dogs do you have on board right now to get rid of with Clear the Shelter?
So we've got around 218 animals in care. Not all of them will be ready for adoption, so about 50 will be available. And it's a very good selection of cats, dogs. We even have some kittens, birds, and a few bunny rabbits.
Okay, so I was going to ask, what's the strangest animal you've got up for grabs at Clear the Shelter, but a bunny rabbit?
There we go.
Who do you think will, I mean, without playing favourites, who do you think will be the first to go, Michelle?
I think that's a very difficult one. I think that the smaller ones tend to go quicker, but it would make us so, so happy. We have a few dogs that have been with us for a long time, and they keep on being overlooked when prospective adopters come out. So we would be celebrating if the right family just happens to come out this weekend and we can get them adopted. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Michelle, we know you a little bit here at the station, family, friends of the old RSPCA, but I know with you there's going to be someone to answer this question. Who are you going to be a little bit sad to see go? Yeah. Do you have a personal favourite at the moment?
I have a few favourites.
Yeah, that's right.
There's one in particular. She's a sweetheart called Mitzi. She's a Bull Arab breed with a beautiful sort of golden red colour on her. And I would be sad to see her go, but I would be so, so happy to see her go because she needs the right family to go to.
Yeah, and that's what your work's all about. It's happy and sad all mixed in at the one time. That's so this is going to be an absolutely awesome weekend. If you're thinking of giving an animal a forever home, this would be the time to do it.
Absolutely.
Head down to the RSPCA this weekend and help them clear the shelter. Michelle, thank you so much for having a chat to us this morning.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate the support.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.